Hey, this is Dan Lynch. Join me this time for Floss Weekly, where Aaron Newcomb and I will be talking to Hippolyte Petervan of Friendica. Friendica is a free and open source social network, so an equivalent to something like Facebook, which I'm sure you're familiar with. If you want to find out more about how it works, how to use it, and all the other sort of stuff, come along and join us for Floss Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by Cashfly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Floss Weekly with Dan Lynch and Aaron Newcomb, episode 490, recorded July the 11th, 2018. Friendica. This episode of Floss Weekly is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Introducing Rate Shield Approval. If you're in the market to pick up a home, Rate Shield Approval locks your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. It's a real game changer. Learn more and get started at rocketmortgage.com/floss. Hello and welcome to another episode of Floss Weekly. This is Floss Weekly 490. As you can probably tell already from my voice, I am not Randall Schwartz, your regular host. I am the substitute teacher for today, but I don't want any messing around at the back. So my name's Dan Lynch and it's good to be here. It's been a while since I've been on, I think, a few weeks, certainly maybe a couple of months even. So it's good to be back and I'm here with Aaron Newcomb. Aaron, how are you doing?
Hey, good. Good to be back with you, Dan.
Yeah, it's good to see you again. So what have you been up to then? You're busy as ever?
Yeah, way too busy, unfortunately, with running the makerspace and my job here is keeping me really busy as well. Luckily, they do have a nice recording studio here, so hopefully I sound okay and look okay. The lights are adjustable, and they've got all sorts of cool video gear in here for me to
character to appear or something next to you, you know, like a little CGI sidekick to pop up or something. That studio looks so professional.
It is. They don't have a green screen, though. I need a green screen so that I can appear, you know, from outer space or something like that.
That would be pretty impressive. Or like in a puff of smoke or something. That would be, that'd be pretty cool. All right. And so, I was going to mention like maker stuff very quickly. One of the reasons I've been so busy is we had an event called Liverpool Make Fest, which I was helping to run. And that was like endless running around. But lots of stuff going on. So I'm getting interested more in the maker stuff now. So we won't have to talk to you about that. But not now, because it'd be really rude when we've got a guest and stuff. But I'm looking at things like open source voice automation, which we can probably chat about at some point. So, all right. And so today's guest or today's project is Friendica. And it's an open source free software equivalent to, say, Facebook or a social network. I mean, we're all probably familiar with what social networks are now. If you're watching this show, we're usually talking about like kernel stuff and, you know, whatever. So I'd be shocked if you didn't know what a social network was. But if you don't, that's cool. We'll talk about it as we go through. So looks really interesting. Have you looked at Friendica at all, Aaron?
No, I haven't actually. This is the first I've heard about it, and I've been so busy, as usual, with a lot of these things. We don't have time to dig into them too deeply, but that makes for a good show because we ask better questions that way. So I'm actually going to be playing with this, you know, as you're asking questions, I'm going to be trying this out and installing it. I think the question should be not, you know, who hasn't heard of a social network or who isn't using social network, but who's happy with the state of social networks right now? Because I would guess that very few people are actually, you know, really thrilled about how they're working and what they're doing for privacy and all of those kinds of things. So actually, I think we're ripe for a disruptor here. And I know that Diaspora came out, you know, kind of in reaction to this, I believe, a while back. And so I'm kind of interested in how this project relates to that and, you know, what it will really take to have a true competitor to Facebook, because right now, obviously, they're dominating. And quite frankly, I don't use it. I don't use Facebook anymore except to publish things because I know a lot of people live there. But it's not like I hang out there, right? I don't hang out there anymore because it's just so painful. And as you can see by my lower third, I still use Google Plus, but a lot of people have left Google Plus. And so it's really just a bunch of geeks now. So yeah, I'm super excited in the topic. And I hope that, you know, this is a potential player in the social network game.
Excellent. I mean, that sounds really interesting. We should definitely get into some of that with the guests in a minute. I don't use Facebook much either. It feels like somewhere where people just try and promote what they're doing and show off, which is kind of what I do now. But I don't really go on there to socialize. It's like, anyway, but we get into that. So before we get into that and before we talk to our guest, I do have some messages to tell you about. I'm saying that very slowly while I switch windows to get to see what I'm doing. Yeah, so this episode of Floss Weekly is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Yeah, so let's talk about buying a home for a minute, because of the rise in interest rates, there's a lot of unpredictability when it comes to buying a home. It causes anxiety for a lot of people. It's, you know, one of the biggest things you can do in your life is buying a home and moving and stuff. So our friends at Quicken Loans are doing something about that. They're calling it the power buying process, and here's how it works. Quicken Loans will verify your income, assets, and credit in less than 24 hours to give you a verified approval. This gives you strength of a cash buyer. Once you're verified, you qualify for their all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, they'll lock up your rate for up to 90 days while you shop, so that's done and you don't have to think about it anymore. Like, is it going to go up? Is it going to go down? You know what you're dealing with. If your rates go up, your rates stay the same. But if rates go down, your rate will drop. So you can only kind of benefit, if you like. If it goes up, you're not going to lose out. So if that's the kind of thing you're interested in, from America's largest mortgage lender, go and check it out. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/floss. Rate Shield approval is only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030. That's rocketmortgage.com/floss. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support. All right, and so we should go ahead and stop talking amongst ourselves and do what we're supposed to be here to do, which is talk to our guest. And our guest today is, I'm going to murder your name, I'm afraid, but let me have a go, Hippolyte Petovan, who is talking to us from New York, I believe. Can you hear us, Hippolyte?
Yes, I can.
Excellent. So you are in New York, aren't you? Brooklyn, did you say?
Yes, I'm Brooklyn.
Cool. How's the weather there at the moment?
It's cloudy, hot, and humid.
So we're having a bit of a strange situation at the moment. I don't know any UK listeners can probably, or viewers can back me up on this. So we're in what qualifies as a heat wave for the UK, which is why everybody's suddenly... It's basically been sunny for about a month nonstop, and that's really weird because we don't have that over here. It's getting to the stage where you don't even look at the weather report because you just assume it's going to be really sunny. Now, imagine this probably for all the Californians and others out there who probably think that's hilarious, but yeah, it's a bit of a change for us. So anyway, let's talk about the project. So we're here to talk about Frendica. So tell us a bit about, I suppose, a quick overview of what Frendica is, the kind of short elevator pitch, and then we'll back up and dip into things. So what exactly is Frendica? How do you describe it to people?
So Frendica is a platform to you run your own social network, and you can also federate with other Frendica nodes or Diaspora or Mastodon using open source protocols.
And you mentioned Mastodon. So is it related to Diaspora then?
Both projects aren't related to each other and they can't speak to each other. But at Frendica, we made a point of supporting the most protocols possible. So we are able to communicate with Mastodon users and Diaspora users.
That's excellent. Is it something so a few years ago, I used Identica. I don't know if you ever used that.
Yes.
That was, so I know Evan who set up Identica, and, he was a guest on another show that I did, and he was telling us about the open microblogging protocol that he was pushing and they were trying to get going at the moment. So obviously with Twitter and other things dominating, I mean, Twitter basically won, didn't it, in the end, but Twitter dominating that whole kind of microblogging area, they wanted a protocol that, so rather than being like walled gardens in the old days, like you had your email, like if I was on AOL and you were on something else, you couldn't talk to each other. That seems a bit stupid. So they want to have an open microblogging protocol. So is that similar? You just have open protocols that you use?
Yes, exactly. So there are like a few protocols like OS Status and more recently ActivityPub that have been designed with decentralization in mind.
Excellent. So how did you come to get involved with the project then?
So in 2016, I was still perfectly happy on Facebook. And my account was frozen because I was not using my official name. And I didn't want to submit a government ID. So I looked for alternatives. And I first settled on Diaspora, but I couldn't contribute myself to the project because I didn't know any Ruby. So I looked for another project that was also decentralized that I could contribute to, and I landed on Frendica, who is in PHP.
Excellent. So you mentioned it's in PHP. So I haven't done much with Diaspora. I remember there was a big fuss about it. I know it's in Rails. I did look at that much of it, I suppose. I remember there was a big fuss. They got like a load of VC funding or something. The four people that set it up, I think, got a phenomenal amount of VC funding. But it feels like, I don't know how popular it is these days. You'll obviously know better than me, or maybe you don't because you've moved on. But I looked at it and went, well, there's nobody here, and it doesn't feel like anybody's setting up their own pods and linking them and stuff at the time. This is years ago. And I've never really gone back. So do you think it's still going? Is it still going? I realize I'm asking you about the wrong project here, but we will get back onto Frendica in a minute, I promise.
Well, it is important for us because more Diaspora nodes would mean we have access to more users. We can communicate with more, with more users. So it is still relevant. As of right now, there are about 200 Diaspora nodes with 700,000 users, according to the public statistics.
That's quite a lot. I hadn't thought of that. But as you said, you've got this communication, the ability to communicate between the two things. So I suppose if they get more users, it is beneficial as well.
Yeah, and it was especially true with Mastodon, who popularity has skyrocketed in the last year.
Is that something to do with GNU Social? Am I getting that confused with something else?
It is something else, but we are also compatible with it.
Cool. Okay, so that was obviously I've let that question slip out now, but I've looked at GNU Social and what they're trying to do with Free Software Foundation and so on. So that does that relate to what you guys are doing?
Absolutely. They are using the OS status protocol, which we're compatible with. So we are able to also interact with GNU Social users.
Excellent. That's really, really good. I suppose the point here, which is really obvious, and we've kind of, I've already said it a few times, but you really need services to be able to talk to each other, because otherwise they're all walled gardens. And, you know, hopefully on Floss Weekly, we'd support that kind of message that, you know, things should talk to each other so you can exchange in open protocols and so on, and then work on your software and make sure it talks to each other. So that's obviously really important to you guys. Does that drive people to come and use Frendica, you think? Do you get a lot of people who just come because they want the political side,
yes,
or the free side?
Definitely. For example, I came from Diaspora and I moved over to Frendica, and I was able to keep all my contacts on Diaspora. So it is a big plus. Additionally, we're supporting like proprietary connectors, for example, with Twitter. I was able to keep my Twitter account and receive all the message in Frendica directly.
And that is really cool. Excellent. I was just looking up. I don't want to scare you or make you run off or anything, but I went to Frendica website and I've just clicked on try it, and it keeps coming up with server not found. It's giving me an Apache page. So I don't know, maybe you can like quickly send a text to someone who needs to look at that, or please wait till after the show. Don't run off now. You can do it. But hopefully there's a lot of traffic going there then. So let's talk a bit about the technical side of it. You said it's PHP. What kind of stuff are you using to build it with? And obviously using PHP. What's your kind of stack?
It was completely homemade, which is kind of a problem right now. We're trying to overhaul the code quality to make it fully 21st century PHP project. So it has been the focus of our efforts, of our developer efforts over the last year.
And do people get a bit kind of sniffy, if you know what that means? I don't know if that's a British term, but do people get a bit kind of, you know, developers? Because I with PHP particularly, I know Facebook's huge and there's loads of huge things written in PHP, but because of the history of PHP and its history of occasional security problems and other things, a lot of time when I speak to developers, they go, oh, PHP, cork, you know, go and use something new. So what makes PHP the right solution for you?
Because it was, I guess, accessible to the founder. We are dependent on most of the choices he made. He's not with the project anymore. He left the project in 2014 to build a newer version that's based on the same principle, but even so he chose to start with a blank slate, pretty much. And so he left the project, but people kept the Frantica alive and to this day.
Yeah, that's excellent. I mean, I read something on your bio there that you got involved and then very quickly kind of, well, you got interested in it and then were very quickly kind of sucked into the project. So that's pretty cool, isn't it? I mean, that's one of the things that I think we try and promote on Floss Weekly, I would hope. And one of the things I've experienced in working with open source and free software and stuff is often you think, you know, you'll never get to speak to the person at the top. Like, you can't go to Apple and ask to speak to Tim Cook, or, well, I can't anyway, they're not going to let me in. But I can go and maybe email somebody like Linus Torvalds, and he might send me a very abusive email back, but he might email me and we might be able to talk. So is that one of the, how was that like getting involved in the project? Was it a surprise that you got, you know, so involved so quickly?
Well, I didn't expect to make pull write or merge writes on GitHub like that quickly. I was contributing, my pull requests were accepted, merged, and after a couple months, I was just suggested, well, do you want to join the team? And as well, I was thrilled.
So I noticed on here, I mean, besides from not being able to try it, I mean, you know, kind of the thing that I alluded to in the beginning was that, you know, it would be great for me personally if we could move away from Facebook and if I could talk to my friends and family, if I could get them willing to switch to a different network. And I think that's the big barrier, right, is that they're already invested in a platform. They don't want to try something new, even though they're frustrated with it. A lot of people haven't gotten frustrated enough with Facebook in particular to want to switch as of this date of this recording. So I'm kind of wondering, like, what is it about Frantica, or is there a feature in Frantica besides being open source? Of course, we're all about open source here on the show. And that's a reason for me to try it. But why would my mom want to try it? Is there an answer for the average user as to why they would want to try this network?
I say it's like a very complicated question, because myself, I wouldn't have gone to Frantica if I wasn't locked out of Facebook. So it has to be like a very deeply motivated decision. It's just you can't switch back and forth, and that would be it would be easy to do that. For example, we don't have any Facebook connectors simply because they don't allow it. There's no public API we can use to do that. So the move from Facebook to Frantica is really complicated. Because you won't find all the people you used to interact with, and you have to make new friends. But it's very good for that.
Right, right. Yeah, so I mean, that was the big thing for me. As folks know, I'm a Google Plus fan, still use Google Plus, maybe not on a daily basis, but, you know, several times a week. And when Plus first came out, I was trying really hard to get my friends and family to move over, and they just wouldn't. And it was a little bit of the chicken and the egg, right? There was no, my friends aren't there, so why should I try it out? Or they would try it out for a little bit, and they would say, oh, none of my friends want to use it, so I can't talk to them. So, and that's what I like about, you know, the social network I'm on. So I'm just wondering, like I mentioned before, you know, maybe there'll be a big turning point at some point, either with the privacy issues or something else that just, you know. And so what I like about what you're doing, and I assume this is in your mission, is to kind of have a platform ready for when that day comes, so that there will be an alternative for people to move over. Is that correct?
Yes, definitely. So Frantica is full featured. You have posts, you have events, you have a calendar. So it really feels like it could be a suitable alternative to Facebook. But unless there's like a massive Meteor landing on Facebook servers, it's unlikely that a lot of people will jump ship. Usually we have very opinionated people testing Frendica because they have been disappointed by Facebook's handling of privacy.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was going to be my next question. Is, are you seeing maybe, you know, waves of people trying it out as these things become public about, you know, missteps that either Facebook has taken or ways that people have misused the platform? Are you seeing, you know, these correlated jumps in users that come to the platform and try it out as those things happen?
Yes, definitely. We have seen an uptick in the number of nodes and users when the Cambridge Analytica story broke out. So we definitely saw an uptick in people wanting to use Frendica and, more importantly, host Frendica nodes.
And since we're on this question, since we're on the topic, this is probably a good point for some basic demographics. I mean, how many people are using the – I don't know if you can tell because it's decentralized how many people are actually on the network, and also what other demographic similarities are there? Are they mostly from Europe? Are they from North America? I mean, things like that.
So the project was built originally by an American developer that moved to Australia, but the core dev team is mostly people in Germany, and I'm kind of the outlier living in Brooklyn. So the core demographic, it's mostly German people.
Hmm. Interesting. And again, just because you know, I can't show screenshots of it right now. I apologize for that. But maybe I'll pull some up. There are some screenshots on the homepage, so maybe we can take a look at those as we're going through this. But I mean, what's the big difference? Like, as someone coming from used to other social networks, whether it's from mobile or, you know, more desktop versions of Facebook and things like that. I mean, what's the biggest difference that people are going to see when they pull up Frendica? What are they going to see that's different?
So the main difference is in the philosophy. So you're not bound to a single corporate entity. You're bound only to the person or the association that's running your node you registered to. So you can set up your own personal node like I did, and you only have to depend on yourself for storing your data, your posts, your pictures. The next big change in philosophy is that there's no centralized aggregation of data. For example, nobody can profile all the users on Frendica because it would mean like going to each separate server and getting the info from it. So it prevents data aggregation, it prevents selling data because each node is responsible for very small amount of users, so there's no profit in large scale data collection.
That's interesting. And is the interface entirely online as well? I'm just looking at some of the screenshots here that are on the screenshot page. I mean, is there a dedicated application that you could run on your desktop, or is there a dedicated application you could run on mobile, or is it all just through the web interface?
So on desktop, we recommend using the website that we're maintaining. On mobile, though, we are trying to make an API that's compatible with Twitter apps. For example, on Android, there's an app called Tweetary, which is supposed to be compatible with Twitter, and you can specify a Frendica server as the API endpoint and use it as it was a Twitter account.
Interesting. So you can just post right from those apps. I didn't realize that. I guess it's the open nature of the platform that makes that possible, right?
Yeah, we're making choices. We don't have enough manpower to create a native app that would be specific to Frendica. So we have to piggyback on what's existing, and what's existing apps that are compatible with Twitter. So that's why we made that choice.
Okay, cool. Yeah, let's just take a look. I just want to show people what the interface actually looks like. So, John, if you could pull that up, just so people are aware what it looks like, some of these screenshots. So here's an example of somebody's what you would see, I guess, if you were you're just logging into the platform. So you've got, I guess this is your friends over on the right hand side. Is that correct?
On the left side, yes.
Or sorry, on the left side. Yeah, I can't tell my right from left, by the way. It's a constant problem when I'm giving directions. Yeah, so these are your friends over here with their profile pictures. And I'm assuming, you know, if you click on those links, you would get what we're seeing in the main frame of the website here, which is their latest updates with all their comments and things like that, right?
Yeah, so the main difference in philosophy with Facebook, for example, is that if you click on a picture, you would get to their nodes, so their profile page on their nodes, and it's sometimes confusing because you're taken to a whole different website with a different theme, different colors, and especially coming from Facebook is not expected at all. But that's the nature of people can be anywhere with their personalization and
I totally like this approach better, by the way. It's one of the things that annoys me about Facebook. It's one thing if I'm going to somebody's page, but if I just want to see their posts, I don't want to see, I don't know, all the junk, right? I just want to see, oh, you know, how are my friend's kids' soccer tournament going or whatever. So I really like this. The screenshot, I like the simplicity as well, which is another thing I think people complain about it. Is that a goal here as well, to keep things simple? Or, how do you avoid, I mean, you want to provide, it's a balancing act, right? You want to provide features that people want, but you also don't want to muck it up so much that it's a bad experience for people to use.
So the advantage we have over Facebook, for example, is that we don't need to show ads. So this is a big clutter that is removed because we don't need to show marketing information. We don't need to show ads. We don't need to show sponsored posts. We don't have those. So we're naturally simpler because we don't have those corporate elements.
Yeah, for sure. So let me ask you this before we move on. I'm going to give it back to Dan. I mean, this is all really interesting and philosophical and great, but I also want to ask about some more practical elements of this as well, because the first thing you see on your page, obviously, is a link to download and set up your own node. So let's talk about deployment a little bit. How easy or difficult is it to deploy? How long would it take? And what are the steps involved?
So you would need like a VPS, typically. Shared hosts have performance issues, so VPS minimum. And it's pretty simple because it's a PHP app without nothing else running. So you just need to drop the files in the folder, point your web server to the folder, and you're almost set. You can need to set background tasks like cron jobs, but that's pretty much all there is to it.
And then, in terms of so then I've got my node up. How does the node interact with the front?
So first thing, when you set up a node, it doesn't have any knowledge of the rest of the network. So the first thing you would have to know is start following someone on another node. So you just type their account address, and Bob's your uncle. You're connected. Other nodes will know you're existing, and you can set up a public relay to get public posts directed to your node to get some content. And that's pretty much it.
And so then, is the data also propagated across the network as well? So like, am I hosting on my node, am I just hosting my information, or am I also hosting other parts of other people's information as well?
So each node is hosting all the posts that their users would see on their feed. So we don't constantly ask for posts from remote hosts for performance reasons. So we kind of cache remote content.
Okay. So I'm caching like my friend's stuff because it knows that I'm going to want to look at that and I want to make that experience fast. So let's go ahead and pull that information in and cache it. So are there speed? Not that Facebook is slow or any of the social networks are very slow, but are there speed and congestion improvements in running in this particular architecture?
So it is pretty low. It doesn't need much resources because it's a PHP, just a PHP application. So one of the core dev is running a Frendica node on a Raspberry Pi, for example.
Mm.
So it is pretty small footprint.
That's great. You just piqued my interest. What? Running a Raspberry Pi? Okay, I'm going to try this out. pull my Raspberry Pi out of my bag, get this thing loaded up. No, that's great that it's a small footprint. And so that was going to be my next question, actually. A lot of times with PHP applications, from my history running Drupal and other things, there's can be memory hogs a little bit, and sometimes you have to tweak the memory settings in the PHP configuration. So that doesn't sound like that's going to be a problem here.
It's not the smallest PHP application, but it's reasonably small. And yes, it can use memory, like you said, PHP is heavy on memory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm guessing, though, that, because you said it runs on Raspberry Pi, who knows how well it runs, but, Raspberry Pi doesn't have a whole lot of memory to spare. So if it runs well there, it'll probably run well in a lot of places. That's great.
Yeah, on the Raspberry Pi 3, if I remember correctly.
Raspberry Pi 3. Okay, good, yep. Good. And just a quick, we're going to get into this more, I'm sure, in a minute, but I was just looking at your updates and news. It looks like you also, did you change the names of your releases recently?
Yes. So we used to have version numbers, and they didn't make much sense since we didn't maintain separately major versions. So I suggested that we move to incremental version numbers because we don't support lower versions anyway. So it was more in line with how the development goes, and especially how the database structure improves over time. And there's no way to go back to a previous database structure. So this was like a logical, for me, from my standpoint, a logical move to an incremental numbering.
Yeah, no, that's a great approach. I recommend it to a lot of companies because there's a lot of pitfalls in getting locked into a numbering scheme that, may or may not have a lot to do with anything. And having it in this, but more of a date coded, which is what I assume this is.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense for a lot of people, I think, and for you as well. So one more thing I wanted to ask before I turn it back over to Dan is we're talking about installation, downloading the packages. What do you have pre-built packages? And I guess I should click on the download link to find this out for myself. But just for those that aren't following along at home, what systems do you support? What installation methods do you support? Are there RPMs? Are there Debian packages, et cetera?
So there has been efforts towards building a Debian package, but so far it hasn't been published. However, we have a Docker image.
Nice.
Mm.
Yeah, that's great.
Excellent. So everybody loves, Docker's everywhere, isn't it? I know that's an obvious statement, but Docker is everywhere. Interesting. You can also run Docker on a Raspberry Pi, although I'm not sure I'd want to do that and then put this on top. That's really ramping up the overheads there. I had to do that recently for another project, put Docker on a Raspberry Pi for something. So you mentioned there what you were talking about, all the whole, the version numbering and stuff. It got me thinking about what I was thinking was, so version numbers are interesting, particularly in software and in free and open source software, because, you know, the whole corporate branding thing is like, you've had version 8, but you haven't seen how good version 9 is, and then everybody wants to go and get version 9, and we're all competitive. In free software, you get projects where it takes 25 years to get to version 1. So I think somewhere in the middle is probably, well, in fact, just what you've done is doing away with that and use dates as well. So maybe that removes a bit of the whole thing about people wanting to constantly, you know, one up each other and, you know, you're only on version 4 and I'm on version 5. I mean, also developers as well.
Yeah, definitely the simile semantic versioning numbers we were using really didn't correspond to any reality. For example, the changes between 3.5 and 3.6 were massive. But we didn't have like a good way of just showing it. It's just a minor version increase. So instead, we moved to dates, which is more relevant. We have 4 releases per year. So we code the year and the month into the version.
That makes a lot of sense. I was going to ask you about your release schedule, and seeing as we've got down this kind of road, you see, you stick to the 4 releases a year, but like a distribution release or something like that. I'm thinking of something like Ubuntu's twice a year, but you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, 4 stable release a year.
Cool. Oh, that's excellent. And when you talked to Aaron before, I noticed you were talking, he was asking about getting people onto this, if you like, and getting them to use it. And it struck me that we're kind of at the mercy of, I keep talking about walled gardens, but we're really at the mercy of, say, Twitter or Facebook and their APIs, which I think a lot of people don't understand isn't the same as being open source, having an API, because they could just switch that off or change it. And in Twitter's case, you know, they may have done that or may not in the past. So if they decide they don't like you having linked into this, then that's quite, is that a concern, do you think? Or if you're trying to get people off, is it a case of getting enough people onto the lifeboats before they pull the chip away or something?
It's definitely been a concern, because we used to have a working Facebook connector that was plugged with the public API, and then they restricted the access to the API. So we're not able to offer the connector anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you're always at that mercy, aren't you? I know a lot of, and for people listening, I'm not having to go at Twitter here, but I know a lot of people who developed apps in the early days for Twitter that they then changed the API because they decided they didn't want those apps anymore and they were changing direction. And then a lot of work can be undone if you're kind of building on sand a little bit. In your case, I know you're doing this just as a bridge to get stuff across, so that makes sense. Cool. So another thing quickly that I thought of as well is, so Aaron said before, if I wanted my mum to use this, how would you use it? And then we've talked a lot about deploying it, and I know you can federate between nodes and all that sort of stuff. So I'm thinking, if I asked, well, my mom's quite technical actually, so she might be into that, but if I asked someone like my dad, for example, who knows nothing about how to install any of this stuff, and I was trying to sell this to him, do you think the best way for me to do that would be to just set up a node, being like the geek, and say, oh, just sign into this? Is it good for people to go to this, like a central, you know, go to Friendica and just use, can they use a central installation or a hosted installation?
Oh yeah, definitely. That's what I was gonna suggest. If you want your dad to go on Friendica, just set up an app yourself and send him the link and register on this, and I will be there. And then you can contact him on this node that you set up. Even if you're on another node, for that matters, you don't need to be registered on the node you just set up. That's the great thing about decentralization, is that you don't need to be on the same server to still be able to communicate.
I mean, that's a really good point. So I'm just looking at the clock to see how we're doing for time. I think we're doing okay at the minute. So what's the kind of goal for the project? I know we've talked about the goal is to create a great open social network and stuff, but have you got like a roadmap or where do you think you're going to go next?
Yes, the next big task is supporting ActivityPub. So ActivityPub is a new shiny decentralized communication protocol that was released earlier this year. And a lot of new projects have started supporting only ActivityPub. And that's important for us at Friendica to be able to interact with those projects. We're trying to be really the most compatible software. So this is the next big task we have to undertake.
Yeah. I mean, there's always new stuff to do, isn't there? That's one of the things that keeps life interesting, I suppose, as well. As well, keeps you busy, I'm sure. We're going to nip back now because I've just seen a security question. So someone was asking, in fact, I'll just name him. It was Aaron was asking, if you set up your own node, is there any way that you can prevent other people on other nodes from caching your information? Is for security or for any of that sort of stuff?
So this is kind of the Achilles heel of decentralization. We send out like deletion notice, for example. If you want to remove one of your posts, we send out to remote servers, hey, this post, you have to delete it. But we don't have any control over whether they do it or not.
So that's true. Sorry, because you've got the freedom. So with freedom, it's a double-edged thing, isn't it? I mean, you give people the freedom to do what they want. That's great, and you love it. And then sometimes they're not necessarily going to do what you might have wanted them to do. So I suppose you can't enforce that. I don't know technically if there's a way you could do that because of the Federation, the data's on their end, and you couldn't, unless you had all these sorts of things like proprietary services used where they'll delete something that you've downloaded or something if you haven't got a license for it, then that would be totally out of keeping with the idea of the philosophy of the project, I suppose.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if you're running a standard, up-to-date, stable version, then the request will be honored. But if it's been hacked modified in any ways, because you can do that, it's open source, you can do that. If it's been modified to ignore those delete requests, then there's nothing remote servers can do about it. Actually, there is something. You can prevent all communication to specific nodes. For example, if there's a node that specializes in hate speech, you can just block this node completely from interacting with your own.
That would be really useful, yeah. I can see how that would be really useful. Something we haven't really mentioned, I don't know if this is really relevant these days with how good mobile browsers and stuff are, but do you worry about like apps and things like that? Do you have Android or iPhone apps? Is that anything that you're interested in?
So there's no iOS app that we are compatible with, unfortunately. There are a couple of Android apps you can use. There's also someone working on a specific Friendica app on FDroid, on the FDroid repository. But otherwise, we have tried to make the website work on mobile, which it's not done yet, but it's mostly usable.
That's excellent. I mean, that's what I was saying about mobile browsers now. I mean, it feels a little bit, a lot of apps, I think, anyway, and I don't know if this is true, but it feels to me like a lot of apps that I download or use are just like a web view anyway, like a full screen web view of their website in a specific CSS style or whatever it might be. So why not just do that anyway? I mean, I can see why, and from your point of view, if you were to, you'd be fragmenting your code a little bit as well, possibly, because, you know, you're going to be then maintaining the mobile app stuff and the other stuff. And if you want to make a change, you've got to change it in more places. So I suppose there's a big advantage to keeping stuff in a central, you know, the code-wise, to keep it in the central place that you want to work from.
Definitely, especially with CSS that has a lot of features to deal with different screen size. So we can add breakpoints to show certain features or not, depending on the screen size, and still keep things readable.
Excellent. And there's some other stuff I wanted to ask you, but is there anything that you think we haven't mentioned that you'd like to get across, being that, you know, we've got about, I don't know, 8 to 10 minutes left. I want to make sure we give you time to say anything you want to say. Is there anything you'd want to say to people about Friendica maybe that we haven't got to?
Well, I could mentioned a little bit about security. So we are trying to we're encrypting all the data in transfer between nodes, so that it can be it cannot be sniffed. I'm not sure how important it is to people, but it's something we do.
Yeah, I mean, we had an interesting point earlier, actually, which I didn't get to mention at the time. There are people chatting away in the IRC there. And Emily DeStrange, I'm just looking at my screen if people wonder why I'm not looking at the camera. Emily DeStrange, great name, by the way, said the problem isn't Facebook, it's social media itself. If you don't trust other people or have issues with privacy, then don't use any social media in a way that you wouldn't, you know, the point is that you wouldn't, don't say anything that you wouldn't want other people to read via a public platform.
This is true.
I mean, yeah.
This is true for walled gardens. And this is true as well for decentralized systems, especially since your content will be sent to many remote servers. You don't have anything. You don't know anything about. It was kind of a big deal, for example, for Mastodon. Mastodon has a content warning feature who hides the content of a post and just shows, well, this is about like an upsetting subject, so open at your own risks. And one particular Mastodon node said, well, we don't care about content warnings, so all the posts will be displayed as is, and we don't care about private posts either. Everything is public.
Yeah, I mean that is an issue. I mean, a big one that people seem to come unstuck with, which I've seen, is likes of Twitter. They send something that they think is a direct message as a normal tweet, and then obviously everyone can see it. So that's maybe, yeah, it's tricky. I've always found, you know, I always say to people, don't say anything on like broadcast something on a social network that you don't want everyone in the world to be able to read. Don't assume that that's not going to happen. Anyway, so if people want to get involved, you know, are you looking for developers? Are you looking for people to help out? I suppose every project's looking for help.
Always, especially since we're overhauling the code base. So there's a lot of groundwork, like just enforcing code standards, for example, has been a time-consuming task that we've undertaken. Like we were like half a dozen doing it. And we're still not done. So we always need new people interested in PHP and decentralized social networks and people running their own nodes or even public nodes. We have had an uptick in people wanting to host public nodes for people to register on, like I said, after the Cambridge Analytica story. But we always need more people involved and just using it.
Yeah, so get on board and use it. And if people want to do that, so they go to Friendica, which is friende.ca. You'll just Google Friendica, the word Friendica with CA on the end. I'm sure it'll come up. All your other search engines are available, of course, before I get upset people telling me that. I was actually interested when I read your bio that, you're a Frenchman living in New York. And I said recently moved over, but I suppose a few years. How's that worked out? Is there a lot of cultural differences? Do you like working there?
Oh, the food is terrible.
Oh, we're going to get problems. No, we're not going to get hate mail. That's cool. So the cultural differences, obviously, I'm sure most people would expect a Frenchman to say the food is very good.
It's a different philosophy about what it is, what a good meal is. In the US, it has to have everything in it. So you have all the flavors. It has to be sugary. It has to be salty at the same time. And it has to be sweet and bitter and chili and everything at the same time.
Yeah, I know. I see what you mean. So yeah, you like appreciate a subtlety, I suppose. I'm comparing it in my head too, because everything compares to music for me in my head. I'm thinking of heavy metal versus, say, jazz. I love both, but you know, sometimes you want a bit of smooth jazz, and sometimes you want to rock out. It's not quite the same thing, though.
Exactly. That's the same kind of principle. Except you have very few choices of smooth jazz in the US.
Mm-hmm. So obviously Brooklyn is hugely exploded in, you know, the whole hipster thing and that, but there's a lot of development stuff going on there. So is it useful for you to be there to see, do you see other developers around and about who work on other projects that you can bounce ideas off or tell them what you're doing and find out what they're doing?
That's the weird thing about me is that I'm not interested in hanging around developer circles. Friendica is actually the first project I have done with other people. Usually I do my stuff in my corner, and I was pretty happy with that. Since I was kicked from Facebook and I had to choose a replacement, this was a project I could meaningfully contribute to, and I just met other developers and we aligned on a lot of philosophical topics, so it's been great so far. Mm.
That's cool. And I noticed in your bio as well that you mentioned that you play a lot of Dota 2, or you have played, yes, a lot of Dota 2, the game. So how do you find time to talk to people if you're always on, if you're always playing like 1,600 hours of Dota or whatever it was?
Well, I started playing when my daughter was just born, and someone had to be up during the nights because she would wake up and ask for a bottle every couple of hours. Oh, yeah. So instead of trying to find like a scattered sleep, with my partner, we had a partial part schedule where I was up during the night and he was up during the day. So during my 8 hours nights, I had a lot of free time, so I could play all my arts content.
Mm, excellent. I mean, it's not something I've ever got into. I mean, I do like gaming. I haven't done the Dota thing. I know a lot of people. I know it's massive. A lot of people like it. We should probably. I'm afraid we're almost kind of running out of time, and I need to have a little chat with Aaron and do some other stuff as well. So it's been really, really nice to talk to you, Hippolyte. And I did mention it, but is there anything else you want to say? So people should go and search out Friendica and try it out, basically.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of the most easiest project to actually install on your own compared to Diaspora or Mastodon, for example. I mean, they're very good in other regards, but we get the upper hand when it comes for easy to install.
Mm. And Aaron's just reminded me that I nearly, very, very nearly forgot to ask the two favorite questions that we ask every guest at the end of a show. And I know Randall gets emails from angry people if we don't ask them. So just two very quick questions, really. What is your favorite programming language? And what is your favorite script editor or text editor?
So PHP is my favorite language because I don't know anything else. I've been working on PHP since I started working in 2006, and I've never had needed to learn anything else. And I'm using NetBeans for editing PHP.
Interesting. Excellent. Cool. Well, I know Randall always wants people to say Perl and what's his name? Oh, it's got Emacs. Nearly went out of my head. Yeah, I nearly lost it there. Then he really would be upset. So that's cool. He's not here to complain. So he can't. He's somewhere on a cruise ship or wherever the hell he is. He might hear a faint shout. you never know. thanks very much for coming on and joining us, Hippolyte. And we wish you the best of luck with the project. And maybe we can check in again, you know, in a couple of years or whenever. If you got something important you want to tell us, then let us know.
Yeah, definitely. I'll probably come back when we finally support ActivityPub, which might be in a couple of years.
Excellent. All right, then. Thanks very much. We'll see you later.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Bye.
All right, then. So that was really interesting. As you can probably tell, I just wanted to ask about, you know, all kinds of stuff then. But Aaron, what did you think?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, you know, pleasantly surprised. I will try it out, and I encourage everyone to try it out. Just, you know, at some point there's going to be this moment where things shift. It always happens, right? And it's taken a while with Facebook, but, you know, it happened with, I would say it happened with Microsoft and other platforms and things. Something's going to be the tipping point, and people are going to say, you know what, screw this Facebook business, screw Twitter. I'm going to go move to something else, and it's good to be prepared for when that happens. So we should be building up platforms like this that can kind of take over and fill that need that people have for sharing information about themselves and about what they're working on. So I highly recommend, even if you don't like it, just go try it and see if it works. And then, you know, perhaps you'll find something there that you really like and you'll want to either help with the project or start running there indefinitely. So, but overall, I'm pretty impressed with what they've done. You know, I know I certainly am going to try it out and see if by chance there's more communities to get involved with there. And that's the other thing I found is the reason why I stuck with Google Plus is there's just different communities there. There's photography communities. There's technology communities. There's a big Raspberry Pi and Arduino community, which is what I mostly browse these days, information about projects and things like that. So you may use more, you know, you may find that this platform is better for some things, some interests, some hobbies, whatever, than other platforms. So anyway, in a nutshell, try it out, see what you think.
Yeah, I agree, definitely. Variety is the spice of life, as they say. So you got to try out different things and make sure, you know, see what they're like and make sure it's, you know, make sure you're not missing out on something. FOMO, whatever they call it, fear of missing out. I think it's called FOMO. Too old for that kind of slang. Cool. So, all right, then. Coming up on Floss Weekly, next week we've got I think there's a week off. Yes, it looks like it. I've frantically pulled up the spreadsheet with the big spreadsheet with all the guests in it. So next week, which is the 18th, I think. Yeah, we've got July the 18th. We'll have a week off. And then I believe Randall will be back on the 1st of August with Quincy Larson, who's going to talk about Free Code Camp, which I don't know a lot about, but I would like to find out more. And then the following week on the 8th of August, we've got Matthew Spoke, who's going to talk about, I think you pronounce it Aion, A-I-O-N. Which is a network thing, I think. That's not very descriptive. So the key thing to do is come back and find out yourself. That's the best thing about doing the show. If you have a project that you're interested in, there's a project you love using, free and open source project, and you think we should talk to them, then that's great. The best thing to do is to contact the project leader if you can and have them email Randall, and he can start scheduling that in. That's kind of the secret cheat to get you to the top of the guests list, the upcoming guest list. Randall's address is merlin@stonehenge.com. That's merlin@stonehenge.com. So if you have a project that you think we should be talking about, then tell them, basically have their people call our people, and we'll sort something out, I suppose. So that's cool. All right, and I don't think I've got anything to plug, really, other than, I don't know, check out my blog or my Twitter or something. If you want to go to danlynch.org, you can find out. I have been doing some podcasts, actually, which, actually, now that I think about it, you might find interesting, Aaron. I've been talking to, so part of Liverpool Makefest, I did a thing called Radio Makefest, where I did little half-hour interviews with different makers each time. So we talked to some guys who do make furniture with a big CNC machine. We talked to, people who do code clubs for kids. We talked to people who are making Python stuff for the Pi, all kinds of other stuff. So if you want to find out more about that, you can Google Radio Makefest or head to liverpoolmakefest.org, and there's a link on there. So enough from me. What are you up to, Aaron? Anything you want to tell us about?
So we actually just got done with our own Mini Maker Fair last weekend.
Cool.
We should actually touch base, because I'd love to figure out how you run your event, what's working, what's not. We'd love to grow our event and do things like you're doing. It sounds like you're doing quite a bit that we're not doing. So maybe we can swap stories and touch base on that. But also, if people are interested, they can take a look at my book. Let's see if I can share my screen here. You can take a look. I don't know if you can see that. So you can take a look at my book, Linux for Makers. It's available on Amazon and where all better books the best books are sold. so it's a book that I wrote to kind of introduce people to Linux through the lens of Raspberry Pi and other SBCs. So if you want to take a look at that, you know, please do. It's it probably will need updating pretty soon, but I pull it out every time we have a Raspberry Pi meetup. I pulled it out last night. Somebody was, you know, the question always comes up, should I use a microcontroller like Arduino or Raspberry Pi? Which one should I get started with? And I have a little section in the appendix that talks about that. So if you're interested, check that out. And I've also got to give a big shout out to my employer, AppDynamics, for giving me the time this morning to come and be part of the podcast. So if you're looking for application performance management or monitoring solution, give AppDynamics a little look-see.
Excellent. That sounds really cool. I'm going to have to get a copy of your book, actually, and have a read. I imagine there's a lot of Debian in there. I'm thinking Raspbian and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Excellent. I will check that out. All right. Well, thank you, Aaron, for coming on and joining me and helping us, you know, keep going while Randall's away. It's always fun to come and play in the studio while the boss is away and you know, mess with things that you're not normally allowed
and
to.
Mess things up terribly.
Yeah, mess things up terribly, yeah. That as well. That as well. Like cool. That. All right. So really nice to speak to Aaron. And we'll definitely talk offline, if you like, or off this anyway, about Maker stuff, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds good.
Cool. All right. And so that's it. That's about it. That's about all we've got time for on this Floss Weekly. Don't forget to come back in future. Have a look at have a look at the website. Find out who's coming up. There's a spreadsheet on there. I told you already about the other stuff. You can follow us on Twitter if you want to have a look. It's at Floss Weekly. And then you can also follow Randall as well at Merlin. And he often talks about what's going on. So I think until next time, that's all we're going to have for now. So stay free and open source and all the rest of it. And we'll see you next time on Floss Weekly.